Our next speaker is someone who needs no introduction. No, Dana Morse. Dana is probably knows everyone in the room. Raise your hand if you know Dana. Dana Morse is Maine Sea Grant and Maine Cooperative Extension, focusing on all sorts of fishy things, or seafood things. So he's going to give an update on oysters in Maine.
Thank you, and he's now thoroughly embarrassed. Thanks, Chris. So here's a quick overview of what's happening in the oyster industry, and I'll try not to make this too boring and quick enough here. Let's see, I've got some information on production, price, market, etc. In 2018, production of eastern oysters, and this first part is mostly about eastern oysters, out of Maine was estimated about 12 million pieces, valued at around $8 million. The average price there works out to about 68 cents a piece. In terms of region, landings from outside the Damariscotta, and most people recognize that the Damariscotta is the central oyster production in the state, landings from outside the Damariscotta went from under 1 million pieces in 2010 to nearly 4 million in 2018. So there's a big jump there. Landings in Damariscotta in 2010 were reported at about 2.1 million pieces, whereas in 2018 it was reported at 7.8 million. And these jumps in numbers are mostly due probably to real increases in production, but also better reporting too. I can tell you both from personal experience and from looking around the state that diversification in locations has happened and diversification in production methods have happened. And what that's leading to is when you go to the markets, you're seeing and tasting oysters with different attributes, shape, depth, color, all that kind of stuff. So it's been really interesting to see an oyster, which you might think an oyster is an oyster is an oyster, has really changed. And that's exciting to see. There's roughly 100 distinct oyster farming operations in the state of Maine right now. That's plus or minus. I mentioned a little bit about price, but in 2005, farm gate value was about 44 cents, and it's risen steadily as well as production. And since 2011, prices have been over 60 cents, and the 2018 average was just under 68 cents a piece. Oysters are valued by per piece, by the piece as they come off the farm. The market, consequently, has been relatively strong. And if you talk with growers, incidentally, if you're an oyster grower, would you mind raising your hand, please? So look around the room if you're not an oyster grower. These are the experts that you can talk with about all these kinds of things when you're here today. So the market's generally been strong. But if you talk to a grower, they will probably tell you that slowdowns after Labor Day are pretty regular business, and they might be getting a little bit stronger. This may be related to increased production, not just really Maine, but throughout the United States and elsewhere as well. Diversification in distribution is also happening a little bit, with some distributing players coming forward a little bit with things like on-farm pickup. So you might get a distributor coming to your farm to pick up product, which is a nice element, especially if you're a smaller grower. And there are definitely some connections that are growing with seafood dealers who focus on other products like lobster. There are definitely continued efforts to get oysters out of the state and out of the region. And I can say, and I'll look to Sebastian to make sure here, that the EU market is still off the table, but that looks to be softening a little bit, and if that happens, that's a big opportunity. The one piece that I'd add here is that most of what I'm reporting on is eastern oysters. The European oyster, which we do have in the state, could also, I think, see a bump if that EU market opens up, and so there's another culture opportunity. With respect to social license and conflict around that, there's a relatively minor percentage of lease applications that come under opposition or at least closer scrutiny, and a small number of applications are getting intense opposition. As you heard, there's a well-focused and well-organized sort of dedicated opposition group there leading that charge. In the meantime, I can say pretty confidently that the various groups that are dealing with new growers, and this is NAA and NAIC and the Island Institute and DMR, that constellation of groups that are dealing with new producers, they're all getting a pretty consistent message, which is do your homework. So new producers need to understand that it's their benefit not just to think about site selection so that their oysters grow quickly and that they're healthy, but there's a lot of other users out there to take into account when site selection happens. So that consistency of message, I think, is a very good thing. And so to sum up, I'll give you a quick strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats, the SWOT analysis. On the strengths side, we have inherent qualities to our product, the main brand. We have increasingly diverse product attributes, as I mentioned, and geographic distribution in our producers. The ecosystem services provided by oyster culture is something that is certainly front and center there. In terms of weaknesses, we've heard things earlier today about workforce training and retention. We'll need to do some more marketing and professionalism of new growers. Think about post-harvest care there, making sure your product gets iced. That kind of professionalism, it's a weakness, it's being attended to, but it should always be attended to. We have opportunities in growing methods. Think cage designs here, intertidal culture, or in that immediate subtidal area. And there is continued market demand and recognition of the main brand, so that's good. And lastly, on the threats area, and these were vetted by a number of growers too, and if there's stuff that the growers would like to add, please do. Climate change and warming waters is front and center. Think Vibrio and the challenges there. Bacterial closures and the overlap there with harmful algal bloom closures. And then lastly, loss of working waterfront access, mostly due to gentrification, just kind of getting away from the commercial aspect of the waterfront. I'll close there unless our industry folks have other stuff to add, and we'll go on to the next thing.